In Pennsylvania, fourth graders from middle and upper class families are more than twice as likely to score advanced or proficient on standardized reading tests. It's indicative of a trend seen nationwide. In fact, over the last 40 years, socioeconomic status has become the best predictor of student achievement. At Sunnyside Elementary, a Pittsburgh public school where more than three-quarters of the students are considered economically disadvantaged, teachers focus on meeting kids where they are academically. As part of our Life of Learning initiative, 90.5 WESA's Liz Reed reports that has had some unintended consequences beyond higher test scores.
All right, please get into your groups where you belong. My bananas. Bananas, your seats are back there next to my seat. Spread out in the seats.
In Justin Dujak's second grade classroom, students break into small groups during a math lesson. One group sits with Dujak on the floor using a number chart to count the difference from one two-digit number to another.
Let's put a red on the 32. Let's put our yellow on the 39. Now take your red and take your jumps all the way over to your yellow and see how many you did. One.
At the other end of the classroom, another group of students is working with a classroom aide to build three-digit numbers out of colorful blocks that represent ones, tens, and hundreds. And elsewhere, more advanced students are partnered off playing a card game to practice inequalities.
Five. Cheating already. Eight equals 30. Dang.
Chloe Sheely explains how the game works.
You have to pick two cards and you have to add them together, and the other person who's playing with you picks two cards, and if it's equal, you put the equal sign, and if the other person on the right has more than the person on the left, you have to put an alligator mouth is what we call it, and the alligator eats the number that's bigger.
7 plus 2 is equal 7.
This is what's called differentiated instruction, a teaching philosophy where students engage in different activities based on their strengths and weaknesses. It can help prevent advanced students from feeling bored and struggling students from feeling left behind. Every student is encouraged to grow, to push themselves, says special ed teacher Jennifer Barker.
Constantly just thinking, their minds are working together for the students to aspire to higher levels, weekly, daily, minute by minute. And we praise and celebrate when the successes are there, no matter how small they are, they're worthy. And that just keeps their heart beating and everyone working together.
She means literally everyone. It's all hands on deck first thing in the morning when, right after breakfast, students move into reading intervention.
Cold read or no?
No, just past the whole course.
Synonyms.
In a computer lab, gym teacher Keith Adzema is with a half dozen fifth graders who are reading short nonfiction passages on a program called Read Naturally.
This is a story called How Far to Freedom, and it's about two people who escaped freedom 1,000 miles away from the south to the northern states.
That's where Mary Slade Fifing and Georgia they long to escape to the northern states where everyone must be free, but people hunted down, beat, and sometimes confused as slaves, safely reaching the north.
Fifth grader Selena Barber whizzes through the passage.
I read really fast.
But she's got to read not only quickly, but accurately to move up to the next level, says Megan Harita, who oversees reading interventions for all 300 students.
If they're able to reach their benchmark in winter and surpass it to a larger amount, then they'll move into the next intervention, which focuses on vocabulary. So it just depends. A lot of times what I do is if I see growth, but it's just now we're just at benchmark, I leave them in to make sure that it happens at the end of the year, and then the following year they'd move up.
Teachers used to use an older version of the same program with CD players and paper printouts. The nice thing about using computers and iPads, says third grade teacher Michelle McLean, is the data.
I just think this gives such good information. There's graphs about their vocabulary, their you know, how they're doing and things like that. And it's good feedback for them and a good motivator for them. Well, you're in the red on vocabulary. That's what you want to focus on.
But aside from motivating kids with data and meeting them where they're at, there is another perk to the way Sunnyside does reading intervention. Teachers say pitching in and teaching each other's students in the mornings helps strengthen the family-like atmosphere that Principal Laura Dady has cultivated over the last 12 years. Here's Justin Dujack.
There's very extreme positive rapport, especially with in the community. And, you know, we know the kids from each grade level. You know, we're comfortable with them and able to be flexible and understanding what we need to do to understand and meet their needs.
Teachers float in and out of each other's classrooms, helping with technology or a writing lesson, sharing tips and stealing ideas, and getting to know kids they don't normally teach. First grade teacher Pam Reddick says it wasn't always that way, but under Mrs. Dady's leadership, teachers have thrown open the doors of their classrooms and started thinking about the bigger picture.
So we don't just focus on our grade level, we focus on the previous grade level and the grade level after us so that we can incorporate it all together.
Like a positive feedback loop, the tight-knit family atmosphere keeps teachers coming back year after year. The teacher turnover rate at Sunnyside for the last 3 years was less than half that of the district, 9% versus 22%. STEM teacher Chris Warden has been at the school for 13 years.
When you get a hug from an eighth grade student that you never had in class every morning, that's something special. It's a good reason to come to work every day.
Whether measured in hugs, low teacher turnover, or improving test scores, Sunnyside Elementary is showing that there is an exception to every rule. And one child at a time, socioeconomic status is becoming less of a predictor of student achievement in Pittsburgh. I'm Liz Reed, 90.5 WESA News.